The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
I'm going to invite you to turn with me to Galatians, Galatians chapter number 1. Galatians chapter number 1. Title of the message is No Other Gospel, and Miss Bonnie, she set this up perfectly in taking some time with the children's corner to talk about the gospel, the message of the gospel. Galatians 1, verse number 1 is where we'll begin reading. It says, Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. As you read these first few verses, this introductory material, if you will, in this letter that Paul is writing to the church at Galatia, you come to verse 5 there that we read, and he says, amen. And typically, if you've read the other epistles, if you've read Paul's letters, this is the place where Paul would usually include thanks and prayer for the people that he's writing to. That's his typical format. But he doesn't mention the thanksgiving or the prayer in this letter, but he jumps straight to what has astonished him in verse number 6 as we continue reading. He says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. And so Paul is not wasting time as he makes this introduction, this beginning of his letter to the church at Galatia. He doesn't waste any time in getting to the point of his writing, getting to the point of what's taking place, what he knows of the church in Galatia, and what he intends to correct, what he intends to give instruction concerning. In verse number 4 there, he speaks of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age. Jesus Christ gave himself to deliver us from our sins, to save us from sin. That is the message of the gospel. It is what Christ has done. It is the perfect life that Christ had. It is his perfect life. It's his death. It's his resurrection. That's the message of the gospel, as Miss Bonnie was talking with the kids about this morning. And the message of the gospel, it's a simple message that children oftentimes can comprehend better than adults can. It's not difficult, it's not complicated, but unfortunately, throughout church history, we've seen times where people have tried to complicate the message of the gospel. Paul gives a very quick snapshot of that as he makes those opening remarks in verse 4. But then in verse number 6, he begins to talk about the distortion of the gospel that was prevalent and taking place in Galatia, saying that I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. He's expressing this astonishment that the believers in Galatia would turn from him and the teaching that they had received from him and listen to these false teachers. These were known as Judaizers that had come and they had distorted the message of the gospel. And this false teaching was causing confusion to those that had been called in the grace of Christ. Who are these false teachers? Who are these ones that had been causing confusion at Galatia? They were Judaizers, and they were the ones that insisted on Christian conformity to Jewish customs. They wanted people, if they were Gentiles, if they came to Christ, they said, well, you can come to Christ, and, you know, grace is offered by Christ, but you have to first, you know, meet all of these requirements of Judaism in order to come to Christ. There was all of these extra steps that they had wanted to add to it. It was a mixture of grace and a mixture of the law, the Old Testament law. It wasn't simply a small misunderstanding by a few people in the church. You can tell by Paul's writing and by his concern that this was something that was prevalent and that they were quickly deserting. I mean, it was something that was actively happening, and it was happening by the majority of those he was writing to. It had influenced the church at Galatia greatly. And he tells them his surprise, his shock, that they would so quickly turn from the true message of the gospel. The message that was being taught at Galatia, I would say, was a very popular message. The fact that so many were deserting what they had received from Paul, they were deserting the truth of the gospel and turning to this, tells you that in Galatia, in that culture, it was a popular message that they were hearing from the Judaizers. And we see the same thing that takes place in our world today. There's people that will follow after a teacher, after those that are popular, that they have a following. So, well, everybody looks up to this person, and oftentimes blindly they can get caught up into the crowd following teachers without checking to see if what they're teaching is from the Word of God. And it caused this confusion at Galatia, and Paul is expressing shock at how quickly they had turned from him and what he had taught. It's quite possible, as you read Paul's words here, that not only were they teaching that this was the gospel message, they were teaching this mixture as being truth, but it's possible that they had even tried to convince the church that Paul was teaching the same thing they were. Because Paul, as he continues, says, even if we were to teach something other than what you've heard, you know, let him be accursed. There's the suggestion that they had tried to say that Paul was complicit, that Paul was with them in this teaching that they were teaching. And if you look throughout the book of Galatians, you'll see other places where Paul, you know, he makes a case to defend himself, to say, if I was preaching what people wanted to hear, why would I continue to be persecuted? And he makes the case for the message that he had preached and continued to preach, and the only message he would continue to preach. And we see that throughout his ministry, he is consistent in his depiction of the message of the gospel. Verse 7, he makes clear that there is no other gospel. There's no other way. The good news for sinners is that Jesus provided salvation through his death on the cross. Christ has paid the price. He did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. We were desperate, enslaved to sin. There was no hope. There was no way that we could, you know, work our way out of the mess that we were in. But Christ, he did for us what we could not do. He alone can save. The works of the law never saved a person. You look at the Old Testament law and all of those things there, but it never saved. It only pointed out the problem. It only highlighted and emphasized the need of man for a Savior. It emphasized the need of man separated from God. But the law never saved. And as you think about the mixture of the grace of God and the works of the law that the Judaizers were trying to teach there in Galatia. You look at our works, you look at our righteousness, the good things that we do. And as believers, we should do good works because of what Christ has done in us, because of the change that Christ has made in our lives. Yes, you look through the New Testament, we should be known for doing good works, but it's not for salvation. We don't do good works to get God's favor. We don't do good works in order to be saved. Christ has made us right with God by grace through faith. But we should do good and we should turn from evil because we have relationship with God. But you think about it, what would be the motive if we are freely given salvation by grace? What would be the motive that some would have to want to add all these extra requirements and all of these extra things on to it? Well, I think sometimes it's pride. Well, we can say, well, yeah, Christ saved us, but we did dot, dot, dot. And you think about, well, what is it that we can add to what Christ has done in order to make it better? I was talking back before we shut down, back I guess about a month ago, I was talking to Dr. Taylor about this very thing. And he said that there was a way that he described it one time. And he told me the illustration. I might mess the illustration up just a little bit. But he said, you know, it was like, you know, somebody was telling me that they could, you know, take what Christ did for them and then they just add a little bit to it. You know, they put their stamp on it and they do the last hurdle to get themselves, you know, into heaven. And he was like, you know, our little touch, our little stamp on what Christ has done. He said it would be like me going out. I had a gate that needed to be made and I didn't know how to make the gate. And so I got somebody that knew how to weld and I got a welder out there that welded and put together and built and installed this nice gate, you know, for this field. And then I went over there and I said, well, you got the gate working, but let me put my stamp on it. Let me go ahead and just finish it. And I go over there with a big hammer and I start beating on the gate and I just kind of mess it all up. That's the best we can do to add to what Christ has done. We don't add to our salvation by doing good works. Yes, we're to be obedient to Christ, but our salvation is completely by faith in what Christ has done. It's by grace through faith in what Christ has done. So why do people make an emphasis on the good works? Oftentimes I think it's so that they can say, well, look what I have done. You saw it with the religious leaders in Jesus' day that they would boast and they would, you know, pray very loud and publicly about all the good things that they were doing just to be seen and to be recognized by man. And Paul, he often spoke of this boasting of the law, and he often talked about the conflict that was to those that would boast about the law. They would boast about all of these things, but even the Judaizers, even the Jews under the law prior to Christ, they never fulfilled it. Even the Jews, though they boasted in the law, they were never successful in keeping the law. And now after receiving the message of grace, they wanted to go and make Gentile believers go through extra steps in order to be right with Jewish law to come to Christ and experience grace. Paul wanted to make clear that a person didn't need to embrace Judaism in order to experience the grace of Christ. As I was studying through this passage and preparing throughout the week for this morning, there was one thing that kept coming to my mind over and over and over, and it was a song, and it's the chorus of the song that we've sung here, I believe, before, and it says, all my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone. All my sins are forgiven. I've been washed by the blood. I mean, what are we talking about this morning? All of our hope is in Jesus. It's not in what we do, it's not in what we didn't do, it's not in what we hope to do, but our hope is in Him. Titus 3, verses 3 through 7 tell us that when the goodness and loving kindness of our God and Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And then later in the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verse 14, Paul would say, but far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's very tempting for us to want to look at what we've received freely from Christ and somehow find a way to make it about us, find a way to boast in our own righteousness. And Paul says, I don't want to boast in anything except for Christ. I don't want to boast in anything except for the cross of Christ. We shouldn't take pride in our good works. I mean, we should have an impact on our community. We should, you know, meet the needs of people around us, but we shouldn't boast in that. We shouldn't take pride in that. The good things that we do them for Christ, but we don't do those things in order to earn or to gain salvation. We should boast in what Christ has done. When people talk to us as believers, when we, you know, have a chance to speak into somebody's lives, what is it that we should talk about? Well, we could talk about all of these things that, you know, God's allowing us to do that are good things. But the message that believers should be known for talking about is what Christ has already done, what Christ has already finished at the cross of Calvary, what Christ accomplished through his death and resurrection. That is the message that we as believers should be known for talking about. This morning, before we, before any of y'all got here, me and Max, we got to talking, you know, kind of off topic, but we were talking about, you know, things that are going on in our country. We were talking about politics and all of those things. And yes, we all have opinions about those things, and some of those conversations are really important. But the most important thing I want to be known for talking about is the gospel of Christ. The person I want to be known for talking about is Christ, because ultimately all these things that are happening right now, they're temporary, because as the bulletin said and as Miss Bonnie said, Christ has prepared a place for us, and we're going to be with him forever, and we're not going to deal with all of the garbage that we see taking place in this world in which we live. I find it interesting that even Paul's description back when he was living, he said that we're going to be delivered from the present evil age. It was an evil age when Paul was writing this, and it's still an evil age that we live in today. But our hope is in Christ and the place that he has prepared for us. We can't add to what Christ has done for us. Our salvation is completely based on what he did in our place. And then we continue there, verse number 8. Paul gives this warning. He says, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. As a kid, I remember reading this verse. I remember reading this passage, and it always amazed me when he said, if I or another, and I'm thinking of it more from the King James that I grew up reading, and if I or another or even an angel comes and teaches, you know, another gospel, anything different. And it always amazed me, the angel piece. You know, here he says, if we are an angel. It always amazed me, the angel piece, until I got to looking at some false religions or even cults that you can study about. And it's amazing how many different belief systems are out there that people say, you know, well, it started with an angel that gave a message to a prophet, and then you come to, and now you have this belief system that's different from what we find in Scripture. Paul knew what he was talking about. We should be on guard against those that would preach another gospel. Sometimes I think as believers, we feel that we need to be patient. We need to be careful. We need to be slow to call out false teaching. We need to be careful with that. Or you have those on the other extreme that, you know, anybody that doesn't agree with every little nuance in Scripture, if they don't agree with every little thing exactly the way they understand it, every little nuance, then they say, well, that's a false teacher. You know, there's extremes. People that won't identify it when it's obvious, and people that find, you know, a problem with everything. So where are we to find that discernment? Both are extremes. How should we as believers acknowledge false teachers? We must have discernment. And Paul makes it clear in this passage that when it comes to the message of the gospel, there is only one. We're not picking apart, you know, the little things. This is the big thing. This is the message of the gospel. the message of Christ. What a person says about Christ ought to line up with what Christ said about himself. What a person says about Christ ought to line up with the Word of God. What a person says about the gospel, it ought to be based on what we see in the Word of God. My question for us this morning, believers, as we read these passages, what are you trusting in? What are you trusting in? What are you hoping in? Do we find ourselves working to be good enough for Christ? Sometimes I think even if we have come to Christ by faith, it's still possible that we, you know, think of it more as, well, I'm still trying to earn, you know, this place that I was freely given. Well, we couldn't earn it. And we couldn't make ourselves good enough to be right with God. Jesus has declared us righteous. That's the message of the gospel. Sometimes we become overly anxious because it seems it's impossible to do all that we want to do for the cause of Christ. And even Paul said, the things that I would do, I don't. The things I wouldn't, I do. And he even wrestled with that in his life and his ministry as well. Maybe this morning you say, I've kind of had it upside down. I've kind of been focusing on myself instead of on Christ. I read this morning, it was interesting, after studying this and preparing this throughout the week, I looked on social media this morning, and I saw a friend that had made a post talking about being baptized, and it gave the testimony of how for years, you know, she has served in church, and she's ministered, and she's done all of these things, trying to do the right things and be a good person and, you know, to do the perfect life, to be right with God. And she realized it's not about that. And she realized her need to come to him and accept the gift that he had given. Sometimes we can be very religious and not have a relationship with Christ. This morning, how is your walk with God? What is your relationship with Christ? Have you accepted that gift? Do you say, as we sing in that song, all my hope is in Jesus? I'm going to ask if you'd stand with me this morning. We're going to pray, prepare for a time of invitation, just to give you a moment to reflect on these verses that we've read and consider what God would have you do in your life with your relationship with him this morning. Father God, we thank you for today. Father, we thank you for your word, and Father, the fact that we can read these letters written to churches so many years ago and see things that was prevalent then, things that were errors back then. And Father, we can read the truth. And Father, we don't have to repeat the same mistakes. We don't have to, Father, try to figure out how to be good enough to earn your favor, but to recognize, Father, that we come to you by faith, and Father, you change us. Father, you do in us what we can't do to save ourselves. Father, I ask that you would speak to each heart here this morning. Father, as we've gone a couple of weeks unable to meet together, Father, I just ask that you would draw us close together as a church, but more so draw us close to you. And Father, I ask that your will would be done in all that's said. In Jesus' name. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.